میرے والد کا تادر سایہ رہے ان کے چشموں.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you're well this morning, inshallah.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, everything's fine here. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, everything is going well so far. I'm sure, Mufti Saab, you've seen South Africa is under attack. So just to inform our listeners, what's happening is, and we did discuss this a little bit in the first segment, but I wanted your specific input because you are well acquainted with the US, America, and their race, their racial attitude over the past few years, which you are direct, what can we say?
Victim,
yes, that is the correct word, the victim.
So, exactly. And,
so what happened is, and I those who don't know as yet, we know the facts. The fact is Elon Musk is from Pretoria here in South Africa. He goes on to become the billionaire of Trump. He stayed in Trump's backyard for how many days? I don't know if he's still staying there. Now, all of a sudden, South Africa is labeled as an anti-American country, and that is why they don't want to attend the G20 year in South Africa as well. Mufti Saab, is everything okay there by you? Is the police already there by your house?
Well, yes. I'm in an area where there are a lot of Afghans.
Okay.
And the government has reinstituted that all Afghans have to leave and go back to Afghanistan. There are police around my house.
No, I heard it a few times. So I said, I must ask you what's happening. Is everything okay there? Because it seems like only when we start our program, then the cops come. So I just hope.
There are four chai hotels, and they're all owned by Afghans.
Okay,
so I have a lot of Afghans around here, and the police are very interested in seeing their paperwork and everything.
Okay, all right. So just going back to it, so we said Trump, so Elon Musk, he's from Pretoria. All of a sudden,
right,
we know what happened, ICJ, the South Africa there, everything. So now, is this a way to get back to South Africa by causing all this corruption that is here? So Trump pokes his nose into South Africa and says that we are, the South Africans, are being unfair to the whites. And specifically the whites, not just any whites, it's the whites of Pretoria, which Elon Musk hails from, schoolboy of Pretoria, you call him. So at that particular, now he offered, Trump said over the weekend that, you know what, whichever Afrikaners is referring to the Boers, the whites, and they are allowed to come to the U.S. But I just saw a beautiful article now written by an Afrikaner, and he said, sorry, Trump, we are not accepting your proposal. We want to stay here in Pretoria, and we want to continue staying here. So that's a good thing. And further, others have written that, see, why are you only singling out the whites in South Africa and giving them the opportunity to come to your country? So now what's happening here is there's another leader of a group, a government party, which is together with the GNU. So we have this unity party. So it's different governments coming together. So EFF leader, and there is Malema, he is now being criticized by Elon Musk to say that he's a racist and he doesn't like whites and everything. Whereas we know for a fact that we haven't seen this as yet. There's no real racialism in this particular sense, which they are blowing it out of proportion. But hypothetically speaking, if they still want to say this here, then Mufti Saab, you can tell us better, what's the racial status at the moment, meaning how do Americans treat blacks in America? And your experiences, Mufti Saab.
Three-fifths of a man. It's still three-fifths of a man in the Constitution. you do the census, well, when the census was first done in America, 1776 is when they became independent, they said, though, for every five blacks, you count them as three. You count three out of every five. So technically, and it's still in the Constitution, a black man is three-fifths of a man in America. All right. This is laughable because they're talking about racism. When who's the dominant race in South Africa? The blacks, huh? So they're being racist against the minority whites. But for all those years when you were fighting for freedom in South Africa, did America help the blacks? Or did they support the racist apartheid government, okay, of the whites in South Africa? Did they invite any black people? What's his name? I can't remember his name now. Your first black president,
Mandela.
Mandela. Mandela and all the other freedom fighters. Did they invite any of them to offer them American citizenship during their fight? Or did they offer to intercede in Mandela's prison term and to allow him to get out early, ask for a pardon for him, and let him come to live in New York? No, of course not. Okay? When the sanctions were being done against the South African government, it was the blacks in America that was pushing it. Yeah, I stopped using Kodak film. Okay, I used Fuji film because Kodak was doing business with South Africa. Okay, the Shell company, oil company. Okay, I would not buy my gasoline from them because they did. They did business with South Africa. Okay, all the blacks my age understood what was going on in South Africa, and we saw it no different than the way we were being treated in America. The one person had a record album, all right, from South Africa to South Carolina. Okay? It was no different. The way you were being treated in South Africa, we were being treated the same way in South Carolina. Okay? And Malcolm, Rahmatullah, he would always say that people talk about how blacks are treated differently down south compared to up north. But he said anything south of Canada was south. All right, we're treated the same way all throughout America. It was just that in the South, they were more like wolves, and in the North, they were more like foxes. All right, so that was the thing. But yeah, we understood. Okay, it's no different. It was no different. We felt that we were living under apartheid, just like you were living under apartheid. No different.
Mm. And that was in
the support that you had. The support you had were from the blacks, the black Americans in America. But the white Americans sided with the white government.
Mm. And that's in the land of America that you've witnessed this, and probably also prompted you to say that, how can I live in such a place like this? Your own experiences. Mufti Saab, your personal experiences, perhaps you can share with us.
Being
victimized.
Victimized. A classic example: when I was in college and I was looking for a job. Okay, the New York Times. New York Times is like one of the largest papers in America, biggest one. On Sunday, I looked for a job. And I'd circle these different jobs, and on Monday morning I'd call them. And I called one on Monday morning. I said, you have 15 jobs or something like that open, huh? And they said, yes, come right on in. And got on the train. I went straight there, and I got there, and they looked at me, and they said, and I said, I'm here for this particular job. And oh, it's already taken. Mm. How how's it taking? It was in the paper yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. Today is 9 o'clock in the morning. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
But you see, over the phone when I talk, you don't know whether I'm black or white. Okay.
Yes.
When you see me, and then you see what color I am. So it's a big difference. So that's the subtlety living in New York that I lived through. My father, who was from South Carolina, and he was a veteran in the Korean War. He came back from the Korean War, and back home he went to a restaurant owned by whites, and they still didn't at that time. It was in the 1950s. They didn't like to serve blacks, but they had to because of the Constitution, all right, passing all these laws. And so he went in, and the white waiter initially did not want to serve him, but finally he had to serve him. So my father asked for a beef burger, and the person came back. He brought the burger. He opened up the bun and he spit in it. Okay, and then said, "Here, nigga, here's your burger." Okay, now that's what my father. He had the thing. He defended America in the Korean War. Where that was hand to hand. Okay, gun to gun. That wasn't dropping bombs and then coming in and, you know, killing the wounded people. No, no, no. That was an actual war. Okay, Korea. So he did that. And when he comes back to America, this is how he's treated. Okay, like Jesse Owens, 1936, won 4 gold medals in the Olympics for America. What's his name? Hitler refused to shake his hand. Hitler did congratulate him, okay, before the Olympics were over. All right, and we know what kind of racist Hitler was. And so when they asked Jesse Owens about that, about his meeting with Hitler and what have you, he said, "Well, at least I got a congratulations from him, but I never got a congratulations from my own president." Okay? So this is how it was. Joe Louis, the great boxer in the 30s and 40s, black champion for 11 years, greater than Muhammad Ali. Okay? He had to fight to get the black reporters to be able to sit in the arena to cover the fight. Because sometimes he fought in places where they were whites only. Okay? And so he had no control over that. But he would speak out and say, at least these black reporters who are covering under these, you know, official newspapers, allow them to come sit down so that they can report on the fight. So he was looked at as a radical just for doing something like that. There's a thousand stories, but, what can I say? It's, you know, part of life. You can Google it now. You can look and see signs in America, niggers and dogs not allowed.
I just now researched that where you moved this up, said niggers and dogs, you said.
Right.
I just want to clarify the statement. It's not to criticize or anything, because people just join in or tune in and then they say, look, listen to this. He's talking about this here. But the reality is we're doing this research to say how racist isn't America against the blacks. So I found this here now. And in fact, they asked me if I want to subscribe to it. And it tells you all America's relations with black people and the dark secrets. So I said, I put my name there, I just subscribe to it now, because this is something that we need to get information on. So here it says about the relationship between black people and dogs, and it's a deeply rooted in history, and it's shaped by a complex combination of cultural, social, and systematic factors. So here it goes on. It can be traced back to the era of slavery in the United States. Enslaved black individuals faced the terrifying reality of dogs being used by slave owners as tools of control and intimidation. Trained as hunting and tracking animals, dogs were employed to track down escaped slaves, creating an atmosphere of constant fear and danger. They were also used as a way to enforce racial differences and to facilitate the extraction and exploitation of black labor. And it goes on, it says the legacy of dogs as instruments of oppression can be traced back to the 1520s and all of this here. But yes, this here is, they used to use the dogs for the slaves and to intimidate them.
And then later, in when I was alive during Martin Luther King's time in the 50s and 60s, when blacks would peacefully protest, okay, and the cops would sick their dogs, police dogs, on them. So it's always been a problem with us and dogs, okay, with white, with the own, with dogs being having white owners. That's the thing. But Malcolm would say, if someone sticks a dog on you, you should shoot the four-legged dog and the two-legged dog. But back then, since the majority of blacks were Christian, they believed in turning the other cheek and nonviolence and all that other stuff. But Malcolm wasn't having it. He said, kill the two-legged dog and the four-legged dog.
So here's the deal, Mufti Saab. I just want to say this here because Dr. Theo de Jager, I don't know how to pronounce this Afrikaans word so well. Anyway, he is the executive board chairman of the South African Agriculture Initiative. He writes a letter to Trump and he's, you know, commending Trump for all this that he's doing at the moment. But I just would like to highlight, and this should serve for Trump and his whole department or his whole team, cabinet they call it. So it says here in this particular letter that it is critical for you to understand that the tensions in our country are not simply a black and white issue. And then he says many black family farmers from other cultural communities suffer just as much, if not more, under the weight of corruption, poor service delivery, and state inefficiencies. And he's admitting here that black farmers also suffer. The question goes back to, why did Trump only offer the Afrikaners to move to the US and not also the black farmers? This is racism in itself. And if I don't even want to imagine a day like that, but okay, I don't say someone else, if they were Trump, they would think twice to say that if I'm going to play this card and think it's going to be a Trump card where I'm using racial issues, then I would think not to go down that road, because we, a country, meaning America, is a country that is so guilty of so many crimes. In fact, Al Jazeera has put together a beautiful compilation. And it says here, know their names. Anyone can search it. It's by, the person's name is Alia Jugtai, right? Al Jazeera.
Okay.
Know their names is the title. Black people killed by the police in the U.S. And they've got Daunt Wright, he's 20 years of age. He was driving and Wright was stopped by officers for a traffic violation. Police tried to detain him, but however, the police chief says it was an accident and they shot him as they were trying to get him into his car. This is one. This happened in the year 2021. Then there's another person, Andre Hill. He emerged from a garage, as you say, and holding up a cell phone in his left hand. So how was he killed? Officer Adam Coy shot Andre Hill and handcuffed him. He laid on the ground for 5 minutes. Nobody came to assist him. And in 5 minutes and 11 seconds, then he died. This is another black person. They have another person, Manuel Ellis. He's 33 years, 2020. He was walking home from a convenience store. And the officer slammed the the patrol car door into him, knocking him down. Police department officers of Tacoma, they came. Christopher Burbank and Matthew Collins tackled and struck Ellis multiple times. This was this particular person. And another person by the name of, what's his name now? This one, they don't have it. His name. Okay, it's not just, he's not bringing up the rest, but I will go into it. Another person, he had run.
So these are things that happened, which spawned the Black Lives Matter. Okay. And the Black Lives Matter was because so many black youth unarmed were being killed by police officers. Okay. And it started when Obama was the president. So the people show you, well, Obama was black. So that means America is no longer racist.
Mm.
Okay. There was the victory, right? Because from Martin Luther King until then was, I don't know how many years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever it was. Said, no, we have a black president, so things are different. No, things are not different. Okay. So all these young black men unarmed being killed consistently by white police officers, okay, who are hired to serve and defend, right? So, yeah, it's America is the biggest hypocrite in the world. They blame China for human rights violations. They blame Afghanistan for human rights violations. They blame every place for human rights violations. The other thing is they blame somebody for terrorism. And America is the number one for both.
Hmm.
Okay, human rights violations and committing terrorism. The CIA was started, just to overthrow other governments. And the first one they did was the Shah of Iran back in 1920-something, 23 or something like that. So they're very good at hiding from people outside of America what is going on. And the thing that got Malcolm Rahmatullahi killed, all right, we know the government has something to do with, was that just for 12 years he was in the Nation of Islam. And the Nation of Islam claimed that the black man is God and the white man, a'udhu billah, and the white man is the devil. And for 12 years he said that, and, you know, he had no problem. But once he left that organization and he went to the United Nations and he went to African countries and said, we need to bring human rights violations against America to the United Nations because we outnumber them. We black countries outnumber the white countries, okay, and we can do something. If we keep it a civil rights matter, then it stays within America. But if we make it a human rights matter, now we can get the help from outside of America. And within 1 year, he was assassinated. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was shaheed. So that is the thing that I've always kept in the back of my mind, that you people outside of America, you don't know what's happening inside. Okay, if you could look at the newspapers inside of America and you see how the people complain about America, then you'd understand something different. How many people know there's 1 lakh people in one city in California, I think San Francisco, that are living in tents. Okay, they don't have jobs, they don't have a real house. Okay, they don't have food, they have nothing. 1 lakh. Okay, so many people are leaving California even before the fires. Okay, that you don't know about. But it's the race has always been a problem because I told you before. The whites who came to America came for a reason, okay? Leaving their country, looking for a better opportunity. But blacks were brought there as slaves, never with the intention of making them citizens. But once they became citizens, that became a problem for whites, okay? And the final thing is James Baldwin, who died, he was a black man, he said, before slavery in America, whites were not equal. The Germans fought French, French fought the British, you know, inside the British they fought each other and what have you. But once blacks were brought from Africa to America and the Caribbean and what have you, whites became equal and blacks became lower class. Okay, the slavery united whites, okay, against black people. And it's been that way for I don't know how long now. Hundreds of years now.
Interesting. I just wanted to highlight two incidents. One is regarding, both are racial issues. However, the BBC reported this, but we know they're whitewashing and what they do constantly. So they don't report this truthfully, the incident that took place. When did this incident take place? It took place in April 2023. So what happened was, I think we even spoke about it once or twice before, an 84-year-old homeowner, Andrew Lester, he is sitting in his home, a 16-year-old black boy. It happens all the time. We make mistakes and you just ring the bell by mistake or you're supposed to go to the next house. And by mistake, he did this innocently. This occurred not in South Africa. This occurred in the United States. Andrew Lester, the white, 84-year-old homeowner, he then went and blasted the 16-year-old boy, Ralph Yal. Anyone can search it. It's all over the internet. Ralph Yal. And he was hospitalized with wounds to his head and his right arm. Shot him twice. Just for ringing the wrong doorbell. So this year he was then, they won't even call this man a terrorist. They won't call him nothing. They'll just say a suspect. Suspect is someone you're still suspicious about. This is not a suspect. This is a criminal. This is a terrorist. But because, of course, as you've said, Mufti Saab, the two areas which they are totally guilty of, and they won't address it, or they won't look at themselves, search within. But they were quick to cause these problems everywhere else. And that is, as you've said, terrorism and the racial issue as the other, I think you said.
So, Molana, let me ask you about the Africans in South Africa. What religion are they? Are they Catholic or are they Protestant?
They are different types. You get different types. So I'm not sure exactly the amount and the ratio, but you get basically all different types.
All right. So you don't know who's a majority, though?
No.
Okay.
I can right. look it
so
up.
America, for the most part, if you're white, you have to, you don't have to be, but it's better that you're Protestant. Okay. WASP is the term that we use, W-A-S-P, WASP. Now, some people think, oh, that's the type of a B, right? No, no, no. White, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant. Okay? These are the people that cause us the most problems, and these are the people that support Trump the most. Okay? White, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant. Okay? Jews are considered white. Okay? But they're not Protestant. All right, so you kick them out. All right. Catholics are white, but they're not Protestant, so you kick them out. All right, so if the people in South Africa, if they are white and they're Protestant, then they have a good shot of coming to America. All right, because if they go there, then of course they're going to be able to vote in the next elections, and they're going to vote for the party that brought them there, the Republicans. Okay, that's how it'll work.
Okay. I did just check up something here while we're speaking. It says here approximately 81% of South Africans are Christian and 5 out of 6 are Protestant.
Okay. Yeah, Protestant. Yeah, that's...
But it doesn't... the thing is, it's not... I will have to do a bit more research to see if it's...
Yeah.
With regards to the black and whites, which that's what you want to see.
Yeah, so you see, again, they'll be willing to bring white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, they'll be willing to bring Protestants, okay, who are white, over. But they're not so thrilled about Jews. Although Jews are running the country, they're still not thrilled about it. In 45, one of the Jews asked, could they take some area in Arizona in America? And the president told them, no, you can't come to Arizona. Okay, but now this year Trump is saying that in Gaza they should go to Saudi, right? Because Saudi has a lot of land,
yes,
right? And a lot of land. So send all the people from Gaza to Saudi. So what did the ulama in Saudi say? Oh, you got land in Alaska. Why don't you take all the Jews and send them to Alaska?
Until you
capture Greenland, and then from Alaska, send them to Greenland.
Mm.
Okay, that was a good answer.
Mm.
That was a good answer.
In fact, I wanted to share this with you. Just before you said it now, a wise person, you just yesterday told me that Trump wants the people of Gaza to go to Egypt and to go to other places. But why doesn't the Palestinians, hypothetically, or why don't they raise this question back to them and say that, you know what, we don't want to move to Egypt. We know that they won't move anywhere. Gaza is their land, and they're determined. We've seen it over more than how many, 480 days now. And they determine you can't break these people. So... But hypothetically speaking, if you do want us to move to Egypt and all these places, no, we don't want to move there. We want to come to America, where the White House is, and Los Angeles. Okay, probably they don't want to go there now because the wildfires and all of this burning up, which has, they claim, has stopped now. But so coming to America, why not? We can swap. You come here, we come there. Why not? Why must we go to Egypt? And I'll say why. They also won't want to come to America. And that was the second issue I want to explain and say, the other incident that took place. So the one was Ralph Yal, which we spoke about just now, the 16-year-old black boy. The other was also in 2023, but this occurred after the 7th of October, 2023. So it is now, you can say, the 16th of October, 2023. Only difference is this is not in Palestine. And these Palestinians, a Palestinian mother, father, the father died. Now it's just the mother and the child. The child is 6 years of age. They are there. They move to America. Why? Because they want to come out of all of this, you know, wild shooting and being abused and all of this. So they seek refuge in America. Only to get stabbed, the six-year-old boy, he gets stabbed 26 times. We've mentioned this so many times, but it's worth mentioning here too. 26 times in a six-year-old, which place or portion was not wounded by a stab? And they'll call it a stabbing incident. They'll call it this, that, or the other. But no terrorist for this particular person. He was the landlord who just got frustrated and went in and doing this brutal, horrendous crime in America. So that's why I don't think Palestinians would want to even move there. But it's a good question to raise. Alaska, or why don't we move here to where you're saying?
Greenland. You see, again, you don't see what happens behind the closed doors. And that is the thing. How many Hindus have problems in America because people think when they see their turbans and beard, okay, their people think that they're Muslim, all right? And they get insulted, and they get chased, and they get cursed out, go back to your country, and this and that. And they got nothing to do with this stuff. So, yeah.
It's just before we leave you, yesterday we put it in the news as well that this is in Israel, and the mother is complaining her son's name. It's on the Times of Israel. Anyone wants to check it, they can find it there. The mother is complaining. This is a squatter. She's saying that, a settler, she's saying, my son, on the 8th of October 2023, he felt that urgency to go out and fight for his country. We say illegitimate country. But he went out and he was so, he went bravely to fight, only to get shot 400 rounds, not by Mujahideen, not by Hamas, not by Qassam brigades, by the IDF themselves, because they mistook him to be someone from Hamas. 400 shots, and he died. And now the tragedy is, she says, they have squashed the case and they don't want to look into it, because... So you just see the true colors of these people. They don't even care for their own people.
Well, you saw when America fought in Iraq, okay? I think it was the first time. And the Iraqi soldiers gave up and they raised white flags and they got out of their tanks, okay, on the ground and threw their weapons down. And America came with their tanks and crushed them, rolled their tanks over them and killed them, although they had raised white flags, unarmed, and were trying to surrender. All right, but no one talks about that.
Exactly. Anyway, Mufti Saab, it was good discussing with you. Alhamdulillah, your insight opens up our minds as well. Allah guide you, Allah guide me, and guide the whole world, inshallah. We just hope to see that day where, you know, Fir'aun's men turned against him. Perhaps Americans will turn against America, inshallah.
Yeah, we have the ability, brother. The Muslims have the ability. I was told that 40 years ago, just the way Musa was brought up and he destroyed Pharaoh in Pharaoh's house.
Yes.
The Muslims in America have the ability to do the same thing.
Inshallah.
But we want to eat at the table with Pharaoh. We don't want to fight Pharaoh. That's the problem.
Exactly. Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab. We'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.